If there is a catastrophe, like an earthquake or a a flood, you can have sometimes in some places. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur says that you should at least take 3 books as you are running away. Which are? Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and Charanacharitam. What if you don't have a small edition and they are very big and heavy? Then he says take 2 books. Which? What's an expert? Knows the library well. he says take 2 books, namely, yeah, Bhagavatam and Chaitanya-charitamrita. But what if you can take only 1 book? Chaitanya-charitamrita. We do have a small Chaitanya-charitamrita. I still have it. I don't know how did I get it. Actually, I have to think. But I do have a nice Chaitanya-charitamrita, thin, on a Bible paper, you know, this super thin paper, with verses, because there is also another one volume version, a little bigger, but no verses, means no Sanskrit, no Bengali. So you could, the whole, with the purpose, you could, you know, take and be happy. Because Chaitanya-charitamrita is brilliant. It's brilliant and it has everything. It also has the Gita, it has the Bhagavatam, it has even some Shastras that we are almost hardly ever touch. Like some devotees avoid Govinda Lilamrita, but we have plenty of verses from Govinda Lilamrita here. The idea is we can find everything in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and this is what you can see on the board. On the board you can see the verse from Srimad Bhagavatam glorifying the holy name. I just had a thought. I don't know if I think it's interesting. I will try to find for you this spiritual statistics. Who was studying statistics? So you will like it. Hopefully, or like sometimes. 2 days ago, I spoke with my Varma Pradashaka guru, who is a software engineer, programmer. So he said, "Do you know what they gave me for birthday?" He says, "It's terrible. It's the worst. It's the worst gift, worst present I could ever get." What is it? He said, "Well, Anka Sudanini, the nectar of numbers." the book from, you know, where each number is described in some spiritual sense, you know, three Murti, 108, 24 forms of Vishnu. I didn't understand. I say, look, it's a good book. I like this book. I have this book myself, and it has a nice. He says, I see you don't get it. He says, look, I spend my whole day in numbers. You know? So after work, I want something else except numbers. Yes. So, Chaitanya Charitamrita has 11,225 verses. And by the way, 6,600 pages. You may know the beautiful calculation by our illustrious Vaisheshika Prabhu. Who here is a disciple of Vaisheshika Prabhu?
Mandragosh.
Okay. He's hopefully out distributing books, right? Where he
says that if you read 70 pages from this edition of Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is not much, because you can see there is plenty of Bengali verses and can go quick, then in 3 months you will have finished the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita, all 17 volumes. It's the miracle of small steps. You can do 25 pages, this is 9 months. Or 9 pages, this will be 2 years. But 9 pages is like, you can finish in 4 minutes. 3 minutes sometimes. Who has finished Chaitanya Charitamrita? 1, 2, 3. Why not? It's a brilliant book. So, yes, and here what you have is, from the Bhagavatam you have 400 verses. 393. Then from the Gita you have 50 verses. And then from other sources also you have many. For example, Govinda Lilamrita is one of the highest books in terms of verses, has 20 verses. Govinda Lilamrita. And Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, 80 verses has here. And I have a lot more of these numbers. So those of you who like statistics, you can come later. You can post it somewhere. By the way, one scholarly Sankhya scientist devotee with some physical degree is now writing interesting books. He says the Western problems is because they mix different kinds of numbers. He says there is ordinal, cardinal plus functions. You know, to translate ordinal and cardinal. How do you translate ordinal and cardinal? One is 1, 2, 3, and the other one is first, second, third. Coco? Glavni paverstilni, Yes, so he claims that the conceptual problem of Western modern mathematics is that they mix all of three together. Whereas he says we have different levels of numbers, and one is the order, and this is how he tries to clearly answer, did we go to the moon or not? Of course, to understand this clear answer, you have to read 30 pages of philosophical explanations. But let's get back to our Bhagavatam verse, which predicts correctly that you have all taken bath today. Correct? It says if you are chanting Hare Krishna, you have taken bath. Not only in the morning in the shower, but also in the last life in the Ganga. This life also sometimes. So 72, this is when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes to Prayag. He comes to Prayag, and this is in fact the beginning of the very famous Rupa Shiksha. Basically, you can see this is the basis for the Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, these last five chapters, beginning from 19 and going all the way to 24. 25 will speak about Varanasi sannyasis converted. But these are teachings to Rupa Goswami or Rupa Shiksha. And then you can see, this is probably where you have most of those Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu verses. So Krishnaskavraj Goswami is such a I don't even know how to call him. You know, he's like, we have Vishnachakarti Thakur like this, and he is also, he is a Kaviraj, meaning he is the king of poets. He's extremely poetic. You can see when he writes his own poetry, it's brilliant. It's a very high level, very beautiful poetry. So on one side, he's very rasika. On the other side, you can see he's super philosophical, and he can quote scriptural verse for any philosophical point. Like Prabhupada says, I want that all of you know my books like a lawyer knows his books, that you can give the chapter and the verse for any point you need to prove. if you were not on record, I would tell you some stories. Otherwise, I'm shy. I could probably make like this and tell you a story, but it's a long story. It will be too tiresome. So 72, he comes to Prayag, and then Srila Rupa Goswami with his brother, and you will not guess which brother. Good question. What brother of Rupa Goswami you know? Sanatana, yes. No, they traveled. His name was Anupama. Also, Rupa was Amar, and Sanatana Goswami was Santosh. So, and they got initiated, Rupa, Sanatana, and Vallabha. He was Vallabha, interestingly enough. And so they come here to see him. So Vallabha, he was not yet Acharya, he was Bhattacharya. Bhatta is it's a title for a scholar. In it's like you say, I don't know, master of, it's a PhD basically. It's like a PhD, something like this. So he very respectfully greeted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whom he saw as a sannyasi. And it's interesting, of course, for some of you to know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself said, I'm just a Mayavadi sannyasi. He took sannyas from Shankara Sampradaya, which is a separate topic, why and how. But of course, obviously, he was a great Vaishnava. But also, we can remind ourselves that culturally, in India, there is no quarrel. There can be philosophical debate, and we can be harsh philosophically, but in person, Prabhupada instructed us, for example, when you see a Mayavadi sannyasi, offer obeisances. Yeah, it's in our Vaishnava etiquette, you may remember. And then sometimes it's a surprise, you know. Like I often say, how in I came in Vrindavan for the first time in '95, and I was walking on the street and I see some Mayavadi sannyasis in red garb, and I remember, okay, yeah, we should be respectful. So, you know, I see them and I say, Hare Krishna. And the guy looks at me and says, Jai Shri Radhe! I say, who is an impersonalist here? Is he an impersonalist, really? I mean, there are different types. It's a philosophical point. There are different types. Vishnachakarati Thakur says there are four types. Says there are impersonalists who reject bhakti and say Krishna is Maya. They get nothing. I mean, they are able to renounce, but they are vimukta maninas, as Brahma says in the Bhagavad. Second one, reject. Say, they say Krishna's form is and name is Maya, but can be accepted for practice. So they do accept bhakti. Any canonical, real, proper Mayavadi will take bhakti as a method. But this is what we criticize as hypocrisy, because they want to become Krishna. So because they also offend Krishna, they also don't achieve even true liberation. The third category, they accept bhakti as the method, and they do not insult Krishna by saying his form is Maya. So these ones, they can become liberated, actually. And they do this Gona Bhakti, secondary bhakti, which, okay, it's another technical discussion. So at one point it becomes uncovered by other desires and motives. So then the fourth category is a very, very lucky one, which meets a devotee and becomes a devotee, and then goes not to Brahmajyoti. He didn't offend, he didn't insult Krishna, he didn't say Krishna is Maya, and he meets a devotee, and he already did bhakti because he thought bhakti is a good method, and he meets a devotee, and then he starts thinking, oh, maybe Krishna bhakti is better. So that's my experience. I was a Buddhist of Vajrayana Buddhism, and then I read Prabhupada's book with respect, and Prabhupada defeated me philosophically. And then I had to admit that, yes, it seems like bhakti, first of all, includes mukti, and second of all, is higher. It's higher than mukti. And then I found devotees and started doing seva, and it became not a theoretical knowledge, but something that's obvious in your experience. So Shivallabha saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a person initiated in a Mayavad school, but he saw that he's a great devotee. So we have a very beautiful passage within the next few verses. And then the two brothers are catching up, are finding Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So you can see it was possible even before Facebook and mobile phones. People could find each other and meet without Google Calendar to schedule 3 months in advance. It's documented, it was possible, even though India is big. So they approached, they came, and Rupa and Shivallabha, meaning Anupama, his brother, they bowed down to them. And then Vallabha, as an elevated, cultured, actually advanced Vaishnava, he came to embrace them. And they started running away. So then he was surprised. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you know, don't touch him. He tells Vallabha, don't touch him, for he belongs to a very low caste. He's from Sarasvata Brahmana, the top level of Brahmanas. But because he took the service in the Muslim government, he was forced to do it. So that's why he says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sort of plays a little game here. He says, Inho nas parshiho, that's 69, Inho jati atihina. Atihina means very fallen. Vaidika yagika tumi, kulina pravina, you are Vaidika yagika, you are very, you're a follower of Vedic principles. You are expert in sacrifices. Kulina, you are aristocracy. But Vallabha so heard that 60. Dunghara muke nirantara krishna namashuni bhatta kohe prabhur kicho ingita bangi jani. Hearing the holy name constantly vibrated by the two brothers, Vallabha Bhattacharya could understand the hints of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it was a test. He says, don't touch him, but actually he means go embrace them. So, would we pass? It depends how good we study Bhagavatam. Because this is what Vallabha answers. He understands. He says, they chant Hare Krishna. So therefore, Bhagavatam 3:33-7, he quotes the verse. Let us chant this verse. Aho batashva pachato gariyan. Yad jihva gre vartate namatubhyam. Te pustapaste juhvuk sasnurarya. Brahmanu churnam agrinanti yete. Aho batashva pachoto gariyan. Yad jiva gre vartate namatubhyam. Te pustapaste juhvuk sasnurarya. Brahmanu churnam agrinanti yete. Somebody would like to chant? Maybe from memory? It's a good verse to know by memory, by heart. You want to try? Aho batashva pachato gariyam. Ya jiva gre vartate namatubhyam. Te pustapaste juhvuksasnurarya. Brahmana churna grinanti. Bravo! Yes. We can see your degree is well deserved. Aho bata. The translation is, how wonderful it is. In the modern universal world language, ahobata means, oh wow. That's the correct translation in modern times. Oh wow. The meaning of the verse, my dear Lord, one who always keeps your holy name on his tongue becomes greater than an initiated brahmana. Although he may be born in a family of dog eaters and may therefore by material calculation be the lowest among men, he is still glorious. This is the wonderful effect of chanting the holy name of the Lord. It is therefore concluded that one who chants the holy name of the Lord should be understood to have performed all kinds of austerities and great sacrifices mentioned in the Vedas. He has already taken his bath in all the holy places of pilgrimage. He has studied all the Vedas. And he is actually an Aryan. So he gives the scriptural confirmation. You can see that he is not just sentimental. He knows Shastra, and he says they may look like they are not from an exalted. So he gives the verse, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it says, was very pleased to hear Vallabha Bhatta quoting from Shastra about the position of a devotee. The Lord praised him personally, Vallabhacharya. And feeling ecstatic love of Godhead, began to quote many verses from Shastra. So we have two verses given here, famous. One is from Hari Bhakti Sudodaya. This is a complimentary Purana describing stories of Dhruva Maharaj and of Prahlad Maharaj, rather. And glories of bhakti, glories of devotee association. So the verse is Shuchi sad bhakti diptagni dagda durjati kalmasha svapakopi buddhai slagyo na vedagyo pinastika. A person who has the pure characteristics of a brahmana due to devotional service. Shuchi sadbhakti dipta. So, dipta means illuminated, shining, by sadbhakti. So, you should all be shining from inside by sadbhakti. Yes, this is the main. This is your main. This is our main preaching strategy. Yes, we should. You should shine from inside by sad bhakti. This was in the German police internal memo in the 70s when you had this old stereotypical German police. Now they are very cute and gentle. Yes, they worked very hard to change the stereotypes. But 50 years ago, they were still the old type, and so they were stopping devotees from Sankirtan. But how do they know who is a devotee? They dress in normal dress. So they had an internal memo that how can you recognize a Hare Krishna? You can recognize a Hare Krishna. First, he's smiling. And second, there is an effulgence, Ausstrahlung, you know, eine besondere Ausstrahlung, you know, special shining. So you can imagine this, you know, old stereotypical, you know, halt! Wait, stay. Okay. Smile is there? Yes, okay. Shining. Oh, come here. You are shining. So, I mean, if it was in old German police, it must be an objective symptom, right? It's it's not sentimental imagination. It was scientific. So, Hari Bhakti Sudodaya mentions this. Then, it is like a blazing fire, burning to ashes all the sinful reactions of past lives. So, this devotee is certainly saved from the consequences of sinful acts such as taking birth in a sinful family. Even though he may be born in a family of dog-eaters, he is recognized by learned scholars. However, although a person may be a learned scholar in Vedic knowledge, he is not recognized if he is an atheist. Nastika. Nastika. I like this word, nastika. It means nihilist. Nihilist or postmodernist. Consistent postmodernist. Postmodernist means that's nihilism, you know, cynicism and nihilism. Nothing matters. Everything is relative. Ethical relativity. How do you know? Nothing is sure. Everything, you know, you have this Derrida and all the, you know, everything. And poor chap, I'm sorry, Sartre and Camus, they say everything is useless. So, the result is certainly just depression, because if nothing has meaning, then yes, it's no other point to live. So Prabhupada is coming to save the world. So that's nastika. Nastika is not just the one who says there is no God, but who has to come to, in fact, a very sad state of nihilism. So Prabhupada is coming to save us by giving us, because we say nirvishesha shunyavadi, we think it means destroying Mayavad and defeating Mayavad and Buddhism. Sorry, it's not about just philosophical school of the 14th century Shankara Advaita. No, it's not about the Shunyavada Buddhism. We see that the whole last 200 years, this is Nirvishesha Shunyavadi, ethical relativism. You can see that the Western, especially European, because for some reason American seems much more optimistic. Maybe they are younger as a as an. Also, they are grounded by religious zealots. Actually, they are founded. America is founded by very active religious zealots. How to say? Not zealots. Enthusiasts who couldn't practice in. They were not allowed to practice their religion enthusiastically enough in Europe. That's why they had to run away there. So they seem to be much more optimistic. But if you go to a museum and look the European art for the last 200 years, it's like, you know, the last room should have a rope with a soap, and you know, you read, you see, you know, Munch with his scream. Everything is completely meaningless. Nobody knows what is what. Nobody has a point of reference. We don't even know any longer where is the head and where is the leg. If you check Picasso's paintings, not clear. Where is up, where is down? Complete confusion. And complete relativism and absence of clear axiology. Axiology is system of coordinates. So Prabhupada, as I quoted yesterday, our Shema Sundar is one of the first disciples, one of the glorious six who founded ISKCON in... Actually, we are all... They are debtors. They have founded the modern ISKCON. They started the first expansion of ISKCON in America, San Francisco. They were the first. Mukunda and Janaki, Gurudas and Yamuna, Shema Sundar and Malati. Yeah, they started San Francisco. They started, and that means the whole America. And then they went to England. They started England. Same thing, same six people. You can read, it was not easy at all. And then they went to India. Even in India. They came there and they started and they did the work there. So he, in his new book, Chasing Rhinos with the Swami, which Niranjan Swami read in 2 days, he cancelled all the programs and said, okay, I'm reading. So when he was presenting this book in Vrindavan 1 or 2 months ago, he said, Srila Prabhupada gave us something to do, somebody to love, and something to hope for. All you need to be happy. Three things you need to be happy. Something to do, somebody to love, and something to hope for. So that's how Prabhupada defeats Nirvishesha Shunyavada. Meaning nihilism, cynicism, and I hope that the world is moving from postmodernism to now it's called, somebody was calling post-postmodernism, but that's awkward. Nowadays you call it metamodernism. Meaning you have to go above the above. There are differences. There is meaning. There are meanings. I hope devotees will write historical analysis of the world, philosophical development in this regard. So Srila Prabhupada is counteracting this nastika. This verse says nastika. Nastika we translate as an atheist, but in Sanskrit it has a broader meaning. It's like in English you have a word naysayer. Naysayer means whatever you say, he will say no. Do good, yeah, but people are bad. Well, find a good person, yeah, but they are ungrateful. Clean the street, no, the government is bad. Well, choose a better person, no, it's all rigged. Do this, no, it's all useless. Serve God, no, the church is not good. That, okay, pray at home, no, prayer, who knows how to. Naysayer, nothing is good. You always say no. No, I'm not saying no. So that's na. Na asti. Is not. To translate literally, it is notism. Is notism. Nastika. But primary, obviously, the first thing they say is not is God. God is not there. And even more fundamentally, for the Vedic civilization or Indian society, is they say Veda is not true. Because if Veda is not true, then you cannot know transcendence. Maximum you can speculate about is Brahmajyoti. You cannot get a positive knowledge about the other side analysis. By analysis, how can you determine that Krishna plays the flute? How can your analysis help you that it's a flute and not a lute or mandolin, or what do they play? Why not? Could be. I don't throw tomatoes at me, but I even like saxophone, so when it's played nicely. So theoretically, why not? Right? So therefore, you need information from the other side. So if Shastra is not there, you're stuck. You cannot know anything. So if a Brahmana is Nastika, if a scholarly person is Nastika, is such a relativist, such a nihilist, then he is not recognized. He's not shlagyo, not praiseworthy. Not glorious. Not glorious. Even though we ourselves use it, we use relativism. It's a little funny. We go to a person and say, "How do you know you know? This all of this is unreliable. It's relative. It's all relative." It is part of truth. It is one level of matter. Matter is relative. Matter is temporary. We even have places where it says it's false. It's like a dream. So we use it. But we have to be careful not to become relativists in principle. It's just a level from material naive positivism to relativism, to go to a higher level, and then to some higher values, higher principles. Otherwise, if we are stuck at this relativism, then it becomes nirvishesha shunyavada. It becomes anything goes. Or as a very funny phrase is used nowadays, good for you. They don't say good, they say good for you. It's like, okay, for you it's good, for me it's useless. That's the idea, right? So I'm not criticizing, you know, which is also nice, it's cultural, you know, you're tolerant, you're tolerating the other person, but it shouldn't mean that there is no criteria to judge what is good, what is better, what is even better. So Shastra describes, tamas is not so good, rajas is better. Prabhupada says it gives, first canto, he says it has clues, it gives clues about philosophy in forms of art, culture, and philosophy. It has clues about the absolute truth, passion. So passion is better. But sattva is much better because it allows you to see the absolute truth. Sattva, goodness. And above goodness, you have transcendental goodness. This is when it's without the false ego. It's for Krishna. So, this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu confirming Vallabhacharya. Oh, yeah, you are right. They are Vaishnavas, they are chanting Hare Krishna. So, correct, they are beyond the castes, beyond, they are above, they are purest, the purest. So, that's part of this story. Then we have the next little story when Vallabhacharya wanted to take Chaitanya Mahaprabhu across the river. And this is Prayag. Who has been to Prayag, Allahabad? Okay, you have lots of fun in front of you in the future. You can add some nice points in your program for the future. It's where you have Yamuna, the Yamuna River and the Ganga merging. And secretly Sarasvati also is there. So you have both the Yamuna and the Ganga, the confluence. This is why it's a super holy place. It's also a very famous place, Prayag. Actually, it's Prayagraj, is considered to be Tirtharaj, is considered to be the king of all holy places, all Tirthas. So he's taking, Vallabhacharya takes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu across the river for lunch. But when? So what happens? They get in the boat, and you can see, you know, when these rivers merge, you can see this is greenish and this is blackish. They are different colors. And who is blackish? Yamuna. Yes. By the way, last year the Supreme Court of India has granted personhood to the Yamuna, rights of a person. So the Yamuna now is officially, legally a person, and and so somebody can file a criminal case for her protection, which should be done probably. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the Yamuna, something happened. He was trembling and he jumped into the water. He was in ecstasy. So it's Uddipan. It's one of the stimulants. He saw his beloved Krishna's river, and she's a great servant of Krishna. If you saw pictures, sometimes you will not be clear, is it Krishna or is it the Yamuna? Actually, she's always a canonical picture. She looks exactly like Krishna. She's Shyam, and this is her service in Vrindavan to Radharani, to remind Radharani of Krishna by her appearance. So he is jumping into the river. The boat is rocking. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu forgot everything, and he just thinks, Yamuna! And he jumps. So Vallabhacharya caught him. They caught him, and they brought him home. But then there were hundreds of brahmanas who wanted to invite Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for lunch. So then he said, no, those who are on this bank, okay, but those who are on those bank, no. We don't carry him across the river anymore. It's dangerous. He's going to jump again or be too much in ecstasy. So Vallabhacharya managed the invitations and managed the hosting of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He washed the feet, lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Wouldn't it be nice? Just, it's like almost like you pick up a hitchhiker and it turns out he's a monk, and then he sees Yamuna and he's in ecstasy, and then he's chanting Hare Krishna, and it turns, this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Would you like to have this experience? It's possible. You can be in your next life, you can become a neighbor of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You can be his, like from the next village neighbor, and then come join for a kirtan or go invite him for lunch, if you like. We are not pushing. We are not. Go for katha with him. However, here he is, and he does the same thing. He has. You can also feed him here. You can also sing with him here. You can also discuss Shastra here, right? Just like we are doing right now. Right now, we have heard what he's saying. He's given a quote, and we have read it, and that's what he's saying. That's his opinion. And what's his opinion? He says, "Guys, I love you. You chant Hare Krishna, you are great. Doesn't matter where you were born, you are wonderful. And if you are born in a noble place like Slovenia, then you are even more wonderful." Slovenia is nice. I think it's a very special place. It's a very nice place. Hare Krishna. So, this is the generosity of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's bringing lots and lots of gifts, and he's ready to accept your interaction. He is happy to engage in exchange with you. He's ready to talk to you, he's ready to dance with you, he's ready to take your prasadam, your are these tangerines or your bananas, your ananas, pineapples, yes, and one last point from here, very interesting story concluding this section. One Raghupati Upadhyaya comes so we have a beautiful loving verse which is put in the Padyavali. So we are not quite sure if it appeared before. It sounds also very musically. Shutima pare smriti mitare bharatamane bhajantu bhavabita aham iha nandam vande yasya linde param brahma. Is it a waltz? Is it a waltz? No. No, waltz is three. Ta-ta-tum, ta-ta-tum. No. Okay. It says, tell me, what music is it? Yasya linde param brahma. Ahamiha nandam vande yasya linde param brahma. Waltz? It's a waltz, yeah. So we are waltzing into So it says, some worship Shruti, Upanishads. Others worship Smriti, Puranas. Still others, let them worship Mahabharat, being scared of material life. As far as I'm concerned, I worship the supreme absolute truth, who is crawling on all fours in Nanda Maharaja's courtyard. For me, it's enough. That's my Shastra worship. So, very famous and beautiful and loving verse. Again, it does not mean you don't study Upanishads. Who is coming for the Upanishad study today? At 11 o'clock? Good. But we study it in a bhakti mood, in a bhakti understanding. And then he creates on the fly a beautiful verse again about Braj. So also very funny. He's asking, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, who is the supreme form to worship? And Raghupati Upadhyaya says, Shyamam eva param rupam. So basically each line is the answer to a verse. Then he says, which place is the best then? Puri Madhupuri Vara. So among cities, the best is Mathura Mandala, meaning Braj Mandala. Then what is the best age to meditate upon Krishna? Vayakai Shorakam Dhyayam. You should meditate on Krishna as a teenager. Meaning, how to say, in the height of his youth, the most intense loving exchanges between Krishna and the gopis take place in his Kaishora age, and that's his eternal age. And what is the rasa for meditation as the most the intense meditation? Then adya eva paro rasa. The supreme rasa is adya, meaning rasa, the original transcendental mellow of conjugal love, Shingara rasa. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is happy. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is happy. Yes, this is the conclusion of the Shastra. So, congratulations, we are lucky. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to perform all of these amazing pastimes, and he was traveling before in India. Now he is traveling everywhere in the form of the books, in the form of your Harinam party, in the form of Shastra discussion, Bhakti Shastra discussions, and of course by Prabhupada's mercy in the form of his beautiful and beautifully worshipped spiritual transcendental deity forms. Shri Panchatattva ki jai, Shri Gornitai ki jai.